بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. It was mentioned that the topic is Associates of Imam al-Asr Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. And yesterday, just a recap of what was mentioned, is that what should be done to become a friend of Imam al-Asr, a friend of Imam al-Zaman. And it was mentioned that to become a friend of Allah, to become a friend of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, there are two paths before us, and there are two ways. One is by way of jazba, and the other one is by way of suluk. Suluk, it is a slow process, it is a phase after phase, and jazba, it's a quick process. There is no hard and fast rule for the jazba of what to be done and how can we get attracted and how can we get to our destination. It's not known. For that reason, we are said that not to underestimate anything and to do as much as we can with regards to performance. And there are certain things that play an important and a pivotal role in traveling or in this suluk or in getting to our destination quick. So suluk, it's a slow process, gradual process, phase by phase, and you have to do, it takes many, many years. Jazba, it's a quick process. Now, with reference to jazba, the Prophet was taken on the eve of Mi'raj, but for Prophet Musa, he had that gradual and that slow process. Certain things, they play an important part in getting to the destination quick. Muhaddis al-Nuri, in his book, he says that helping someone in need, especially if he is a Sayyid, and helping someone who has a broken heart, that plays an important part again. For Imam al-Asr, 118 names have been mentioned. One of his names is Ghawthul Ummah, means helper of the nation. That is, he helps everyone, regardless of what his faith is, whether or not he is a believer of the Imam or not. It's like the Almighty Allah. He has his share of mercy for everyone, and a special share of mercy for mu'mineen. He too is a reflection on a very, very, very low level. He also does that. And we too, who want to be a friend of the Imam, the teaching is that we have to be a reflection of the Imam. If he is Ghawthul Ummah, if he is a helper of the nation, we too have to be helpful to each other, especially the heartbroken, and in particular, those who are the Sadat. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu was salam. During his rule, he was an old man. And in the hot days of summer, now being the first person of his rule, of the nation of Islam, what he does, his seerah is that he comes to the headquarters, which is the governor house. Those who are in need, they have to approach the Imam. What he does is he comes and sits by the security guards that is outside the his office. And in summary, he says that because those who are in need, those who want to get them their problems solved, they don't need to come all the way in to the office. I'll sit outside so they are comforted quicker. Their problems are sorted in a much faster way. That is Amir al-Mu'mineen. So we who want to be a friend of Ahlul Bayt, the teaching is that help others, especially someone who is a Sayyid, and in particular someone who is heartbroken. And again, it was mentioned that the second way which they mention in this fast track or getting to the destination quicker, it is through crying for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And it was mentioned yesterday that marhum Sayyid Kareem Kafash, who was among the Urafa and among the beloved, among the friends of our 12th Imam, when he was inquired, now for him it is reported that he had access to the 12th Imam at least once in a week, he met him. And when he was asked that what and how did he get that access to the Imam, he says that once I had a dream, I saw the Prophet and I said to him that I want to meet the Imam, I want to have access to him, what do I do? And in reply, Rasulullah said that cry twice a day for my grandson Abu Abdullah and you will get access to the 12th Imam. And he says that I cried for one whole year, every day, twice a day, and at the end of that first year I got and sought that access to the 12th Imam. And the same thing, it was mentioned, is seen in Ziyarat al-Nahiyah, that Imam says that أَبْكِيَنَّ لَكَ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً, that I cry for you morning and night. I lament for you morning and night. So that is one. And again it was mentioned that access and finding a way to being a friend and meeting the Imam of time, there are a few ways. First is by way of dreams, that when a person sees the Imam or Ahlul Bayt, that is a true dream. Second was by way of mukashafa, and that is a person sees whilst he's awake. Again, that is a dream which he sees. Or in easier words, it is as if he has access to him in an offline mode. He is seeing the Imam, he is awake, but offline. That is the second way. And the third way of seeing the Imam is that a person meets the Imam while he is awake, but he cannot recognize him. He doesn't know who he is. And later on, that is, when the Imam arrives, when he sees the Imam, he will say, I had met him during my lifetime. So Imam meets Mu'mineen, we meet him, but we don't recognize him. That is the third way. And the fourth way is by way that a person witnesses the presence of the Imam but is in a state of hayawan. Hayawan means that his senses are not fully active. He sees him, he meets him, he speaks to him, he responds to the questions that he raises with the Imam, he gets an answer from the Imam, he perceives it. But there is a little bit of a disconnect, as if he is a bit drowsy and he cannot relate who that is. That is another state of meeting the Imam, and in the state of Hayawan that is mentioned in our books. Ulama of the olden days, they were of the opinion that meeting the Imam is impossible. But the present ulama, almost all of them, every one of them, they say that having access to the Imam, it's possible. And one of the Urafa, he says that when you can meet God, now this is a humble and a sincere servant of God, how can you not meet him? That is possible. And again, loads of examples are there, incidents are there where people had access to the Imam. And the reason why they say that it is not possible for a person to have access to the Imam is the letter which the Imam has to his fourth naib, his fourth representative, and that is in that era of occultation of Ghaybat al-Sughra. There in that letter he says that this term of Ghaybat al-Sughra will come to an end, and the fourth representative, that is the last representative, and from now on there will be no representative of the Imam after this. Based upon that, ulama, they say that having an access to him was impossible. But then if you look into that letter again carefully, you find that Imam says that he will have no direct representation on this earth, but people can have access to him. So the riwayat that say that if someone does claim that he has witnessed the Imam, he has seen the Imam, huwa kadhabun muftar, that is that direct representation from the Imam. So meeting the Imam is possible, seeing the Imam is possible, and that is the long wish and desire of every mu'min. And as it was mentioned on the first day, that in Dua al-Ahd we say, Allahumma arinit talat al-rashida, that, O God, make it as such that we see that visage of the Imam. Wal-ghurrat al-hamida, wakhal naziri bin nazratin minni ilay. Now, the beautification of eyes, a person wants to make his eyes look good, he uses kuhl, he uses all these different things to make his eye look good. Says that, God, beautify my eyes by the sight of that Imam. Adorn them by looking at that Imam. So, perceiving, seeing the Imam is possible. If you look into the du'as that we have, for example, du'a Nudba, says that, أَيْنَ السَّبَبُ الْمُتَّصِلُ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ. That du'a Nudba, it's a beautiful du'a, du'a of lamenting. It's all crying and weeping. And it's a good lesson of Imamat, that week in, week out, that on a Friday we remind ourselves with this du'a that what happened on this whole concept of Imamat after Rasulullah, and what deviations people fell, and why did that happen? That was because of that chain of guidance, that is, that chain of Imamat from not being handed over rightfully to Amirul Mu'mineen. There says that, أَيْنَ السَّبَبُ الْمُتَّسِلُ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ. O God, where is that means that connects us? سَبَبُ الْمُتَّسِلُ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ, between the earth and the skies. Where is he? Now, if someone does have faith in these sentences, then he will not doubt that if we have a hajat and we have a hajat presented before our 12th Imam, it will be granted. Now, it may come to one's mind that how come everything that we ask him, that is granted to us. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to say it, utter it with our tongue for him to hear. No. I will quote some examples today, inshallah, and you will find it for yourselves that even if we have a hajat in our hearts, Imam gets it. He receives it. There is no need of writing, there is no need of any digital contact, there is no need of any words. Just an intention of yours and it gets to him. And it is said that when you want to have a pledge with the Imam, you utter it with your tongue. Before your own voice gets to your ear, Imam has got it. Now, to understand this even in better words, in simpler words, this soul that we have in our body, it is a partial soul or a juz'i soul. And it is all over the body. If someone pokes a needle to any part of the body, you feel the pain. You get it. You understand that something is wrong somewhere in the body. Imam, he is that perfect soul, that complete soul, who is over the universe. As it was mentioned yesterday in that dua adila, بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ, that it is by the presence of the 12th Imam, Wara is the creation, they get their sustenance, as if he is the distribution center, and through him the sustenance of everything is distributed. Now, when this soul which is in our body, when it is hurt, we understand it. Unless we don't have a soul in the body, then we will never understand that what's wrong, where it's wrong. So no matter how many needles are poked, we will never understand. Imam, he is present, and no matter who, wherever, what faith is, he gets the message and he looks after them. بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ. And that is why we are said that the performance that we have, now all this is a lesson to myself, our performance should be as such that we don't hurt the Imam. Yesterday it was mentioned that Imam comes to the grave of one of his friends with another friend of his. When that person who has passed away, he complains that how come one of his other associates has not come to visit me since the day I have died, Imam says, I am representing him because he is ill. That is that mutual friendship, that reciprocal friendship between the Imam and the Ma'amum. If you look into Ziyarat Ali Yasin, again it's amazing. It says that بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ عَلَّمَنَا اللَّهِ مَعَالِمَ دِينِنَا وَأَصْلَحَ مَا كَانَ فَسَدَ مِن دُنْيَانَا. That it is by this love that we have with the Imam, that is muwalat. It comes from Bab Mufa'ala. And there in Bab Mufa'ala, we have a reciprocal understanding. That if I love the Imam, Imam too loves me. It's not a one-sided, a biased relationship. It's a two-way relationship. That is, with this muwalat, this devotion, this love I have with the Imam, Imam has taught us. And whatever wrong and whatever corruption is there in my livelihood, he corrects. So there has to be a two-way relationship with the Imam to become a friend of the Imam. It shouldn't be as such that, well, if we are informed that Imam is by the door over here, we say, please stop there, let us fix some things over here and then you can come in. The livelihood should be a livelihood, clean, crystal clear livelihood, that whenever he wants, he can walk in. And for the Imam to enter our livelihood, there are not all these things that we impose upon ourselves, they are not required. Marhum Ayatullah Baqir Sistani, the father of Ayatullah Sistani today, he was a very pious person, well known in Mashhad, and he had a haja. And he imposed upon himself and said that, I will recite Ziyarat Ashura for 40 weeks in different mosques in Mashhad. And there he says that it was the 40th week and it was the last day that he had to recite the Ziyarat Ashura. And he was waiting and hoping to get an indication from the Imam for his wish to be granted for him to meet him as well. And then he says that I saw a light flash in that mosque where I was. And I followed that light and that into one of the lanes in Mashhad, and there I see that there's a door open of one of these houses and that flash, that light enters that house. I go inside and I see that there is a body, there is a funeral in that body, a body has been laid, a cover and covered. I follow the noor, that light, and come to that room and see that Imam is in the room where the coffin is there, where the body has been laid. And then he says to Marhum Sayyid Baqir that all these imposing thing of ziyarat and dua upon yourself, it's not required, it's not needed. You don't need to put yourself in so much of trouble, all these ziyarat and duas to be recited. You be good, I will come and see you. And then he says, when he inquired who that person was, in that room, says that that woman, during the time of Reza Shah, La'natullah alayh, when hijab was abandoned in Iran, and women who were in the streets with hijab, their hijab was seized away. She protected her hijab and did not come out of her house for 7 years. For that, Imam comes to visit her. So says that, you be good, I will come to see you. You don't need to take all that trouble. And when it's said that you be good, it means it's all these basic things that we are said. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. That whatever Rasul has told you, do it. Whatever he has said, don't do it. It's only these do's and those don'ts, move between them and Imam will be there. There are four ways of getting access to the Imam. The first one was by dream, the second one was by mukashifa, the third one was meeting the Imam, but in a state of hayawan, that a person, he does not relate completely with the Imam as if he is a bit drowsy. And another was, he meets the Imam, but he doesn't recognize him. There is a story in Mafatih al-Jinan. Normally it is not read because it's quite lengthy. And Marhum Muhaddis Qumi says that if my book had only this incident mentioned in it, that would be sufficient for this book of mine. Now again, what is that incident? It is an incident reported by which has happened to Haj Ali Baghdadi, and he says that I had my khums money to be paid, 82 months. And then he goes to pay that to the ulama in Najaf and says that I paid him, that is his dues and funds, that is the khums, and I was returning to Baghdad on a Thursday. I had to rush back because I had some workers, I had to pay them. And although that alim where he paid the khums, he says that stay here today, you can go after the ziyarat. He says, no, I have to go and pay my workers. For that reason, he had to rush back to Baghdad. He says that I was on my way and I see a Sayyid, dignified with a green turban, very elegant, come towards me. I wish him salam, he hugs me and he shakes hands with me. And then there is a conversation that takes place between the two. The Sayyid is the Imam. But he doesn't recognize, that is just to explain you what the status of state of Hayawan is. And then Imam says to him, come, let's go to the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. He says that I love to, but I have to go home and there I have to pay my workers as it is Thursday today. And then in that conversation, Imam addresses him with his name. One of the things which he had in his heart and he wanted to get them through Sheikh Muhammad Hussein Qazimini, to whom he paid his homes, was there is a practice today, and it was a lot in the past, and that is mu'mineen, they used to get a testimony, a certification from the ulama, from the pious people, that is, they just write a little note that he is among the mawali and the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And they took that testimony from two people. And that testimony was placed in their shroud, in their kafan, and in their grave, that on the Day of Judgment, because we have the Babu Shahada, there were people witness, if two mu'mineen witness something, their witness is accepted. So when they say that he is among the mu'aleen and the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, then Allah also. Now again, the same thing can be seen with reference to the funeral of mu'mineen, and that is, if 40 people attend a funeral of some of a mu'min, Allah is ashamed to punish that person. That is when 40 people attend that funeral, it is that they say that Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra, we don't know anything from that person but good. Now when 40 people are giving that testimony and witness, Allah says that I'm ashamed to punish that person. So it has been a habit of the people, and it is even today, they take that testimony from two people, keep it, preserve it, and with their kafan, and that is in their grave until the Day of Judgment. Says that I had that wish that I take a testimony, a certification from Sheikh Muhammad Hassan Qazimini, so that I have it, I'll take a second one later on. And then Imam says to him, now he had that in his heart, says that, don't you want a testimony that you are among the lovers of Ahlul Bayt? He says, yes, but I have to go and perform my tasks over there. Now, will you give that testimony? His Imam says, yes, I will. You are among the lovers and among the muwali of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. Now, he says to himself that, how come you don't know me? Imam says, I don't know you, I know you. You are among my true lovers and believers. He says, how and what makes you say that? He says, you paid your dues, your khums, which is my right. You just paid that to my wakil, to my representative. He is relating that, how come he says that my wakil, my representative, my right? But again, there is a bit of disconnect, and that is the drowsiness, that he cannot relate 100% who this imam is, who this sayyid is. Again, it continues. It's quite lengthy, and I'll cut short. Says that, let's go to the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. And then Imam takes him to the ziyarat, accompanies him to the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. And then says, come on, recite the ziyarat. Haj Ali Baghdadi says that, I'm illiterate, I cannot read, I cannot recite. Imam says, I will recite for you. And before that he says, now it is mustahab that when you come to the shrines of Masumeen, you have that iznidukhul, that you take the entrance permit and then you enter the shrine of Masumeen. And it is said that when you recite that iznidukhul and when a tear drops out of your eyes, that is permission granted. Again, says that Imam recites that iznidukhul for him. And one after the other, the names of Ma'asumeen are mentioned. And then says that salutations and salams be upon them. Imam says to him, don't you want to say a salam to the Imam of time? He says, As-salamu alayka ya sahib al-zaman. As-salamu alayka ya sharik al-Quran. And from there, Imam says, wa alayka as-salam. Still he cannot relate, but how come? He is replying, he is responding, and I said my salams to the Imam. There says that which ziyarat is better to recite? Imam says ziyarat Aminullah. Or when it comes to the shrine of Aba Abdullah, says ziyarat Warid is good. So again, that is that state of, and when it is time for prayers, now Imam, there is a jamaat that is held, that is being established over there. And Imam says that, don't you want to go and join the jamaat? He goes and joins the jamaat. And Imam, again, he offers his prayers for adab. Because Imam, he cannot. Everyone has to be behind the Imam, not Imam behind others. That is the ruling. And that is why when you go for the ziyarat of Ma'asumeen, it is haram for you to step a bit forward or offer your prayers where the Imam has been laid to rest. If someone does offer his prayers in the same line with the Imam, his prayer is batil. May that be jamaat, may that be for adab. Because Imam, he is always forward in everything. He has, and we have to follow him in every aspect. So, when it is time for prayers, Imam has his prayers, and when he comes back, he doesn't see him anymore. Searches, and then he comes back. Says, all this time I was with the Imam, hand in hand we came to the ziyarat of him, and now he has to come back. So, that is that state of hayawan, when a person meets the Imam, relates to him, converses with him and gets an answer to whatever he puts forward, but he cannot 100% relate who he is with. So, some ulama, they say that it's not possible, but most of them, they say it is possible, and that having an access to the Imam is possible in every time. And with reference to the Imam, on the eve of the 23rd of the month of Ramadan, Jibreel alayhi salam will call. And the call will be, Ala inna al-haqqa fi aliyyin wa shi'atihi wa yunadi bi ismi al-qa'im. That he, Jibreel, on the 23rd of the month of Ramadan, will have a call and say that, Ala inna al-haqq, that indeed the right is with Ali and with the followers of Ali, and then he will call with the name of the 12th Imam that the right is with him. And after that, in the Muharram of that very year, wherein this call will be heard by, and the Imam's arrival will be on that year. That is, first it's going to be the call on the 23rd of Ramadan, and the following Muharram will be the arrival of the Imam. Now Imam, in this letter which he has to his Naib, he says that before this call, and that is the movement of Sufyani, whoever claims that he has seen me is a liar. That is to say that whoever claims that direct representation from the Imam, because that direct representation with the Imam has come to an end in that Ghaybat-e-Sughra, And after that, there is no direct representation of the Imam. But if someone wants to have access to the Imam, that is possible. Inshallah, we will talk on this issue in the forthcoming nights, that the zuhur that we have, it's of two types. There is a zuhur asghar, that is a minor arrival, and there is a major arrival, which is the zuhur akbar. The minor arrival is the arrival of the name of the Imam that we have today. And alhamdulillah, luckily it seems that we have already entered, and that is the opinion of many of the great ulama, that we have already entered this phase of time, and that is the minor arrival of the Imam. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. And that is, everyone knows, that is, the name of the Imam has appeared on this earth. Everyone knows who this Imam is. And that is why we find all these conspiracies that are happening all over the world, that is just to put down or to stop this movement of the arrival of the Imam. Because Shaitan, he is the sworn enemy. And he has said that I will put away everything which ends up and leads towards Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So everything which moves towards guidance, he will put it off. But at the same time, the movement of Allah also, that doesn't allow, because there is an equal and opposite. Salawat. There is an equal and opposite reaction. There is this hadith called Hadith Jundul Aqli wal Jahl in Usul al Kafi, a beautiful hadith. That is, when the efforts from Haq are there, the efforts from Batil also are there. It is not as such that just Shaitan puts his effort, Rahman does not. Both have their own movements, both have their own efforts. So Imam, his minor arrival, and that is the name, the fame of the Imam, has already taken place. And the major arrival, it is the arrival of the Imam himself. Even today, now, when the Imam comes, that is going to be the major arrival, meaning that everyone will be able to witness, will be able to see the Imam. But even today, people are there of that high caliber who have different zones and ways and means to have access to the Imam. Maybe by way of dreams, maybe by way of mukashifa, maybe by way of those different things that were mentioned. And there are people of that high caliber, of the most pious, who have frequent and total access to the Imam. No barriers, no hijabs. It's like these cell phones. Sometimes you get them and you can use them only, for example, nationwide in that country. But if you have the bars lifted, you can use it overseas, you can use it in every country. So we have hijabs, we have bars in us. If we remove those hijabs and those bars, it will be a free access and an easier access, because the transponders are there, the satellite is there. We have to have the right transmission, we have to have the right instrument that can relate to the Imam. So the distribution center, which is the Imam, according to the du'as, بِيُمْنِهِ رُزِقَ الْوَرَىٰ is there. Or du'a nutbah says that أَيْنَ السَّبَبُ الْمُتَّسِلُ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ, that where is that means which connects us between the earth and the sky. So, for example, in du'a nutbah again it says that عَزِيزٌ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَرَى الْخَلْقَ وَلَا تُرَىٰ. Again, this is another proof which says that it is possible to have access to the Imam. How is it not possible? If guidance is there, then there has to be access to that guidance. So, dua says, Azizun alayya an aral khalqa wala tura. It is tough on me that I see everyone in this creation and I don't see you. Is that not a pain? Is that not a big disaster? That I see everyone, I don't see the Imam. So seeing and meeting the Imam is possible. But also it should be borne in mind that it is not an assignment, it is not a duty that we have to see the Imam. On the Day of Judgment, Allah won't ask us that, why didn't you try, why didn't you strive to see the Imam. It is our wish, it is our desire that we see him, we meet him. And we try and do everything possible because it's that love, that bond, that devotion which we have to him. As a result of that, we want to be so close to him that we meet him at all times. Quran says that, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa attaqullah la'allakum tuflihun. That all you who believe, that is, in the era of occultation, which is this ghaibat, now, in this period when the Imam is away from us, be patient and excel in patience and remain steadfast. Remain steadfast how? Says that remain steadfast with the Imam of time. Be with him. Although he is away from us, we have to be with him. And again, if you remember, it was mentioned in the first majlis that the beauty of the people of the end of time, as said by the fourth Imam, as uttered by the Prophet of Islam, he says that they are my brothers. They are the best of the people of every time. Why? Because they have faith in me. They have faith in their Imam, although they haven't seen him. There have been people who were with the Imam, with the sons of the Imam, with the grandsons of the Imam, but they're worse than Abu Jahl. But people of the end of time, Rasulullah says that they are the best of the people who ever existed. They are my brothers. Says over here that be steadfast with the Imam of time and be careful of your duty to Allah that you may be successful. So we have to be with the Imam. Be his friend. Imam riwayat, they say that huwal anisur rafiq wal walidus shafiq wal akhus shafiq. That Imam, he is the friendliest. Now, normally a father, he has that love to his children. Says that Imam has more love than you have to your own children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we are said that we have to respect our parents, because Rasulullah says that ana wa aliyun abawa hadhihi al-ummah, that me and Ali are the fathers of this nation. If we respect our parents today, it will be easier for us to respect the Imam, because Imam today, he is the father of the nation. If we are bad at home with our parents, then definitely take for granted it will be impossible for us to be good with the Imam. When on the lower levels we are bad, how can on a higher level we can be good? So in this period of probation that we are living in, if we respect our parents, we can respect the Imam easier. If we abide by the do's and don'ts today, it will be easier for us to abide by the do's and don'ts which he says. So it is all a practice that we are going through. A person, he comes and asks our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, and says that, Imam, I love you. Do you love me as well? Imam says, look into your own heart. Look into your own heart. How much value I have, or how much am I worth in your heart? If I am worth a lot in your heart, I love you a lot. Or if you bring that example again, that the soul that we have, if it is, if a needle is poked to the body, the soul knows what's happening to it. We feel the pain everywhere. The same thing as the riwayat that was mentioned yesterday from Amirul Mu'mineen says that when a mu'min, when a person is disturbed, I am disturbed. When he fails, I say, ouch. When he is in pain, I cry. When they are disturbed, we pray for you. Or sometimes say that you pray and we'll say Ameen for you. So there is that close bond with the Imam, especially with the Imam of time, that we have to have that strongest relationship with him. To Imam Baqir alayhi salam, a person asked that when is says that when is the arrival of Imam Mahdi? Imam says that if you see that a time, if during the time when a fellow brother in need, he takes out whatever he wants from your pocket and you don't have any feeling to him and you don't feel bad or embarrassed or do anything to him, know that that is the time when the Imam will come. That is, such a close bond is there in the community with other members of the community that if something they need, they can just freely come and take it from you. That is the time when everyone has reached that perfection, that completion, and that is the time when Imam will come. So for him to arrive, we have to do something. We have to complete ourselves. We have to perfect ourselves. And only then, when there are that enough number of people to assist him, to support him, will he come. Or if there is no one to support him, the end will be like the end of the other Imams, his predecessors, how they were killed and martyred. This will be the end. And for that reason, Allah has kept him so that people are there to support him for him to come. So, the topic was to be a friend with the Imam, and this friendship is possible. Having access to the Imam is possible. Based upon the levels and abilities of every individual, that access is also possible. And also to have a relationship with the Imam of time at whatever time it is possible for us. And for that talk, chat, or having a talk with the Imam, words are not required. We can just sit and concentrate and talk to him in our minds, and Imam gets the message. There is this story you must have heard from Abu Jarih Hammami, Abu Rajih Hammami, and that is, in the olden days, there were no bathrooms in houses. Bathrooms meaning not toilets, to have a shower. So every area, there was a shower, there was a hammam outside, and people, they used to go and have showers there. Says this person, he worked in this hammam, cleaning the hammam, supplying water to people. And it was the time of the Nasibis. Now Nasibis are those people who have that hiqd, that hatred to Ahlul Bayt, and in particular to Amirul Mu'mineen. And we have these types of people today with new brands, with new tags, present all over the world, in especially the Muslim world. Says that during the time of Nasibi, this Abu Rajih was there. And his beauty was that whenever the name of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha was mentioned or uttered, he immediately said, may Allah curse her enemies, those who oppressed her, those who did all those atrocities and oppressions to her. And it was that time of Nasibis when if the informers informed that there is a person in the community who has that love and devotion to Ahlul Bayt, he was taken, he was imprisoned. And this person, when he was informed, when the informers informed that he is among the lovers of and followers of Ahlul Bayt, he is taken. And there he is tied. His tongue out of his mouth, his nose pierced, and he is dragged and beaten and dragged into the streets. And there, when it is the last moments, now he's an old man, 60, 70 years of age, last moments, and they wanted to behead him, they come and see that there is nothing left, he is dead. Now there's no point in beheading him, and let's come tomorrow and bury him. Abu Rajih says that I heard them say that leave him, we'll come tomorrow and bury him. And in that desperate moment, he connects and relates to Imam. He has no eyes, eyes are gone, no tongue to talk with. And there, in his heart, in his mind, he says, Imam, I was beaten up because of that love I have to your mother. Because they mentioned her name, I said, curses be upon those who oppressed her. This is my end. This is what has happened to me. He cannot see. He cannot talk. And there he says that Imam enters his house. And then he has his hand on his face. Sight is given back. Teeth that were broken were given back to him. That tongue which was lost was back. And then in the morning when these people, they come to bury that person, they see someone is standing and offering his prayers. Imam, when he gives shifa to that person, says that, go and carry on with your day-to-day affairs, look after your family. These people, they come and see that this is Abu Rajah. Says, who are you? Says, I'm Abu Rajah. And says, how and what happened? Imam, although he had no tongue to talk to him, although he had no eyes to see anything, but in his heart, in his mind, he relates, and Imam comes and grants that shafa to him. So, no eyes are needed, no tongue is required, no words are needed. It's just that bond which a person can have, a connection that he can relate with to the Imam of time. And being a friend of the Imam is possible. And those who become a friend of the Imam, they benefit from everything they want in this dunya, barzakh and qiyam. And what more achievement do we want than becoming a friend and an associate of the Imam of time? That is the mightiest achievement. In this caravan of light, which is Karbala, there are many members, and each one has his own rank. There is a very young member in this caravan, and that is Ruqayya, the daughter of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And miraculous tasks and deeds are done by these tiny fingers of this young toddler of Abu Abdullah. The reports, they say that she resembled Hazrat Zahra the most. Her looks, and also how she ended and how she died, says that when Ahlul Bayt were reminded of their mother, they used to come and they used to see this little toddler of Abu Abdullah. And the bond between the daughter and the father was so much that because when she was born, the mother had passed away, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is the father and the mother for this young toddler. So she has a lot of love for the father, and says that in this, after the day of Ashura, when they were taking the caravans from Karbala to Kufa and Sham, there in those tough situations, and she on the ride on the camels, when she was pleading and crying for her father, she was thrown down the camel, not being comforted. No one comforted her, but those malain, they throwed her down. And again says that on the day of Ashura, that is after Shamil Ghariban, when everything had collapsed, when everything had perished, Zainab, this messenger of Karbala, she finds that this toddler, this Aziz, and the dear one of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is missing. And then she rushes towards the battlefront. There she sees that this young toddler, she is on a body and she is asleep. Comes and says that, Ruqayya, how come there is no head to any one of these bodies? How did you find out that this is your father? She says that I recognize the fragrance of my father. I came there. And again, in the prisons of Sham, whenever she is reminded, she wants her father. And when this weeping and crying was so much from the prisons of Sham, Yazid says, what is happening over there? Why is everyone crying so much? And he is informed that this young toddler of Abu Abdullah, she wants her father. He says, take this head of Abu Abdullah, and the head is brought into the prison and thrown into the laps of this little toddler, and there, upon seeing that head, she faints and she passes away. And again, the person who washes this toddler of Abu Abdullah, she comes to Zainab Umm Kulsum and says that, was she afflicted with a disease? Why is her skin like that? Why are all these blisters on her? And why is this dress of hers stuck to her with all these wounds? And again, the riwayat say that she resembled her grandmother so much that the way she dies again is like her grandmother Zahra. She dies and she is laid to rest in the night. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-dhalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayya munqalabin yanqalibun. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by the presence of this little toddler of Abu Abdullah Hussein, ease the great problems that each one of us is facing. And the greatest bala that we have today is the absence of the Imam. May Allah Jalla wa'ala, by the tiny fingers of this young toddler of Abu Abdullah, hasten the arrival of our 12th Imam. May he Jalla wa'ala enlist us among his true supporters and his true servants. May he Tabaraka wa ta'ala count us and our children among the best Muslims who ever existed. May he Tabaraka wa ta'ala, by the tiny fingers of this young toddler of Abu Abdullah, grant shifa to all those who are ill and ailing, all those who have requested for dua for their duas to be granted, all those who have hajat for their wishes to be blessed. May Allah Jalla wa'ala elevate the ranks of all those who have passed away, who were with us till last year and not with us this year. And may he never make this majlis of ours the last majlis of our life. Bless us with opportunities to serve Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam with every means, in every field, and at every point in our life. Matam-e Hussein.
Thank you.